Welcome to Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us today. Today is our second episode. Now, the structure of today's episode is going to be a little bit different than the first one that we did. We want to be doing this weekly, and to get that done weekly, what we're going to be doing is having a show like our first show, where it's structured much like Jason and I laid out, and Jason will be my co-host. And then the following week, I'm going to be here with Cake Bitch.
Cake Bitch? Is that what we're going with?
Unless you want something different.
Well, I was going with Cupcake. It's a little less offensive, but I guess I can be Cake Bitch.
I mean,
I'm a female.
Yeah, you like
wolf,
Bitch Planet, right?
So, yeah. Sure. Let's go with Cake Bitch.
All right. And also with us is our puppy, our
Wild.
Little wolf pup. A chihuahua named Manali.
She thinks she's a wolf, though.
She acts like one.
She's
she tries
wild.
To take everybody and everything on. But, yeah, size doesn't matter. Manali proves it. She chases away everyone.
Now she's going to be quiet.
Pit bulls, German shepherds. Yeah, she's not going to make a noise.
She's shy
She
now.
Will eventually. Yeah, so today we're going to be kicking this off with our frosting, and I wanted to do a first impressions with you, Cake Bitch.
Okay.
Since you are a little bit new to horror.
I am.
Yeah, I'm kind of pushing you into it.
Yes.
But I wasn't the first person to push you into
it. Oh, no. My best friend Dustin's, like, obsessed with horror. He used to tell ghost stories. I swear, I remember during the last solar eclipse, which we have one coming up, but maybe it wasn't even the last one, but it was in, like, second grade, he was telling ghost stories while everyone else was looking at the solar eclipse. And I remember I was sitting there enraptured with this ghost story. I think it was the Headless Horseman. I don't even know. But he's been trying to get me to watch horror movies basically since I was 5.
And then you met me, and you have to watch horror movies.
I do. Now I have to watch them, because they're always on, it's always a murder movie.
And you actually like some of them, which is good.
Some of them, yes. I'm a little pickier than you are.
Well, your first impressions on The Exorcist, did you enjoy that movie?
I actually did like The Exorcist, much to probably my father's dismay. I thought it was an excellent movie, well thought out. It wasn't as cheap scares as I thought it was going to be, and it wasn't as, what is it, exploitative as I thought it was going to be. It was really just a story about this mother who doesn't know what to do because her daughter is possessed, and she eventually comes to realize that essentially there are beings that are supernatural and that she needs to get help from a priest friend. And yeah, the only thing I had, my only qualm was that the mother at some point didn't say, take me instead, like the priest did, because I feel like that's something a mom would have screamed. Although a friend of mine pointed out that the mother may have thought her daughter was a burden and didn't love her as fully as most mothers love their children. I thought that was a stretch, though.
That's not something that I picked up. Yeah, maybe the mother could have gone that route. I don't think that it was necessary for the tale. That might have been something that they would put in today, but didn't feel right for the time that it was released to kind of go that route.
A mother sacrificing herself?
I mean, it feels a little bit cheap in a way to me.
I don't know. I mean, just organically it would have happened.
You think it's more of an organic
thing? Yeah, I think
thing.
Just naturally mothers don't want to see their children in pain and suffering. And so, I don't know how many times my mom is like, "Oh, honey, I wish I could take it from you
well,
when
this,
I'm sick or something."
This is based off of a novel that was done by a man. And the novel is a very ripping tale. I feel as though it portrays a very believable characters. And it doesn't add too much more to the film, other than a very prominent sense of dread that's a little bit more intense than what we're getting in the movie itself.
Well, that's probably why I could sit through the movie.
The book really tends to hit home with points of depression that are very believable, that make me certain the writer suffered from it himself.
Was he the depression on the part of, like, the mother or the daughter?
It's priest? More. It's more of a philosophy on death itself.
Okay.
And the inescapable darkness beyond life. And he frames
in our lives. In our lives.
In our lives too.
It's hard to escape.
He frames everything in an incredible way in the book. I would not suggest it to anyone that's easily taken by depression, unless they're on a high dose of Xanax, maybe like a Xanax.
Sand, yeah. I don't think
you might need to go get like a foot-long
bun. I mean, that probably does. That is probably how it works, but not when taken as prescribed. We do not recommend swallowing a bottle of Xanax in order.
No, I would recommend getting a foot-long bun and lining it with Xanax and then eating it that way.
Don't do that. No.
Yeah. If you're gluten intolerant, and then I'm sure they know to get the proper type of bun for their needs. So, your father, you had mentioned that he had a bit of a trouble with The Exorcist just in general, especially with his children watching it or reading it.
Well, when he was a kid, that's when the book came out, and he actually got the book. Maybe this is why he doesn't read anymore, but he got the book, and he was reading the book, and he said things started going missing in the apartment. His sister's slippers would end up on top of the heater in the bathroom when it's not a normal place. It's not something that she would have normally done, but his sister is a bit of a handful, so he can't really put it past her that she wouldn't have just moved the slippers just to fuck with him. But, so he has these, like, really terrifying memories, and he got rid of the book immediately after the slippers moved.
Yeah, so do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits. And I definitely believe that there is a dark power, but I don't know that it's necessarily like the devil. I'm not sure that there's anything inherently evil. I think there's just a darkness, and then there's lightness, and there's just always a continuous balance between the two. Continuum. It goes back and forth. Right now we might be in the darkness. We'll come back around to the light, or we'll all get destroyed in a nuclear war.
So, you do believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits. I think it's energy. So yeah, I believe in ghosts.
Have you ever seen one?
No, but I think my sister definitely has. In our parents' house, it wasn't a scary ghost. It was just walking downstairs, and she happened to see it walking, and she freaked out a little bit. And yes, and I've heard footsteps. Like, I could have sworn somebody just came home and stepped down beside me, like, downstairs, and I turn around ready to say hi, and no one's there. So
if I told you that I once saw a half-man, half-spider, you would believe that because it's coming from my experiences.
Half-man, half-spider?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to convince me.
So
you couldn't just say, hey, this one time I saw a half-man, half-spider thing.
So your sister convinced you.
In bed with me. Well, it was her reaction. She was so shocked and, like, she couldn't even say words. She looked at all of us and all the cats, and just had this look of, like, horror on her face.
All right. Well, I don't believe in ghosts.
You don't
because
believe
I've never
ghosts.
Seen one.
Ah.
Yeah.
Aren't you special?
So. Yeah. The Exorcist's novel was written by William Peter Blatty. And I highly suggest checking that out as long as you meet the aforementioned requirements. And definitely watch the movie if you haven't, but if you're listening to this, you probably have seen it.
Probably. Also, I mean, if you read the book, maybe watch where your slippers end up and let us know if they move. Or if anything else in your house or apartment moves. It would be interesting to know if that's something that follows the book.
Something that I really liked about both the book and the film is just the character Pazuzu itself. He's my favorite part of it all.
Well, that's because you thought he had a giant penis.
Yeah, I don't know why. I had this mental imagery for years.
There's a serpent wrapped around his waist.
Is that what it is?
It looks a little bit phallic, but I don't think it's his penis.
All right.
But I mean, he's kind of awesome and terrifying a little bit.
There's this old Super Nintendo video game. It's part of the Final Fantasy series, but it's more of like a children's RPG as like an introductory to RPGs in general. It's called Mystic Quest. And there's a boss in there. And remember, this is a game for children. There's a boss in there that's named Pazuzu. Kind of looks like the dude. I just found that interesting.
What was it called?
Mystic Quest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it come out around the same time, or was it after?
It was after.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, there's a pretty cool, if you do like The Exorcist, they're pretty cool doll of Regan by Living Dead Dolls that you can pick up on the Big Bad Toy Store.
I assume it's possessed.
BigBadToyStore.com.
Possessed Regan?
It's possessed Regan.
Is it Regan? I was thinking it was Reagan.
Regan.
I can't even remember what they called her in the movie.
Why wouldn't they make... I mean, do you really think they would make a version of her as a doll for sale that's non-possessed?
I don't know. I mean...
That would be a little bit weird.
You can find almost anything on the internet these days.
I mean, they could just...
I mean, you ordered a non-possessed Chucky doll.
That's
true.
And then
they sent us the possessed one.
Maybe it got possessed
right now.
In transit.
If that could be.
Yeah.
We have a literal possessed Chucky doll. That's great. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Is there anything horror-related that you've been doing lately?
Well, I've been reviewing some shows. Van Helsing just came out on Netflix, and I'm enjoying that. The series from Sci-Fi, so I'm sure everyone's already seen it.
Oh, it's a sci-fi
series?
Well, then it's probably going to be awful.
Well, I mean, it's not great, but it's really not that bad. It's not like Sharknado.
Wynonna Earp?
It's not like Wynonna Earp. It's much better than Wynonna Earp. But I only got two episodes in, so they're still laying the basis of the story down. I don't know. I mean, it's nothing earth-shattering.
So, just want to mention what we're drinking today. There's some of the things that we have here. We've got Red's Blueberry Ale.
That's a drink Matt is drinking.
Yeah, which is a, caramel cider with blueberry?
It's some sort of cider. Actually, it says beer on there, but it's basically sugar water with some alcohol in it and blueberry flavoring.
It's pretty good. We also have some delightful Cabernet Sauvignon, a Bota box, boxed wine.
Fancy.
Again, I have more pink beer.
You're drinking all of my pink.
Yeah, I am.
You gotta stop because that's like one of my favorites.
And then you're over there with...
I am drinking Slaughterhouse American Whiskey because my throat is sore and my peepaw always acted like whiskey was medicine, so...
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to burn out the germs.
Well,
it's
maybe...
It's supposed to be a virus. It was feeling much better earlier today, but...
Maybe it's more like you just drink until you forget that you have a cold.
I think that's part of it. I should try gargling with it. Maybe that would kill the germs better.
Then you gotta swallow it afterwards.
Yeah. But I would probably drown myself trying to do it, so... I don't think alcohol should be in your lungs.
Yeah, so, did you have some fright sight for us today?
I thought that was going to be at the end. So, yeah, I don't have any of my sources pulled up, but...
While you're doing that, I'll tell them about Fright Sight. So, Fright Sight News is something that Cake Bitch does on cakewolf.com. It's basically real life things that have a horror spin to them. You can find articles on cakewolf.com that will inform you about children suicide packs that can be related to movies like The Horseman. So what do you have for us today?
Okay, so the first story that I have, and the other one I'm just going to touch on because I just heard it on Radiolab today and I thought it was interesting. But the first one is that Western men's sperm count is down, this article says 59% since 1973. What I think the other one said 40%, I'm not sure, but this is pretty legit looking. But yeah, so they did a study of Western men, and the sperm count has been falling for the past 40 years. There's some lady on the Facebook comments saying that it was cell phones, but cell phones haven't been around for 40 years, so we can rule that out. But I read this with a lot of horror in my heart, because it feels like we are slowly inching our way towards making Handmaid's Tale a reality. Because no one, I mean, we have the science here to show that it's sperm count going down. But, you know, men aren't going to take the fall for that. So I'm just preparing myself for sexual slavery one day. Maybe it will be years in the future, and I'll be old, and they won't want
Yeah,
me.
You're going to...
I'll be the help.
You'll be going through menopause. Nobody's going to want to be anywhere near you.
Oh, I'm a liberal also. That's they when, might just hang me.
That's when I'll join Boy Scouts.
And you'll join the Boy Scouts.
Just something, a bowling league, anything. I'll join the Moose Club just to get away from you.
Terrible.
So, this low sperm count apparently is not affecting the host of the Padded Room podcast, Darian. He made a baby. Yeah, he recently had a baby. I believe the baby's name is Daphne. So, congratulations, Darian, to you and to your wife, who's probably doing all of the work. So, yeah, like I think I told you, make sure you're good to those kids, because there's a day where you'll be shitting in diapers again, and you're going to want to make sure that they at least put you in a nice home.
Yeah, that's if Matt and I ever have a baby, our goal is to just at least get a nice home out of the deal. I don't know that I want my kids changing my shit diaper, actually, so.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I mean, I put in the time and effort to change their shit diaper. I feel like it's only right.
Yeah, but they're staring at your
like,
adult.
I'm gonna have a massive amount of spite at that point. So
that's
when it's my turn to shit my pants,
but listen,
I'm going to make sure that it counts. I'm gonna be dosing up on lots of beans and eggs and cabbage.
See,
I'm gonna make
it
the most disgusting runny shit of all time.
What you're doing as a parent is paying it forward, because before you had children, somebody else changed your shit diaper as a baby. Also, baby penises and balls are not nearly as disgusting looking as old man penises and balls. Like, you can't do that to your kid. They'd, like, never want to have sex again.
How many old man penises and balls have you seen?
Only the ones that you Googled and showed me.
All right.
Also, I did take a drawing class, and that was awkward.
So you've seen many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Many so old men.
In real life, IRL.
In real life, I have seen one.
I've only ever seen them when I Google them specifically to disturb people.
Right, and they're usually like half erect, which makes it even worse.
Well, I don't type in half erect. I think that's just
how they come. They're just always
well,
in a state of half erectness.
That is probably how they come. I mean,
just
they're
slightly
too
downward and.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
They're old, so.
Yo, you know what I mean, like coming, come.
Well, that's where I was going, but you weren't
okay.
Picking that up.
No, I was picking it
up. Oh, you
up.
Were
I just
picking
wasn't
it up.
Sure, where how you were getting there.
And how are you picking up this old man penis that we're discussing?
You were just discussing it.
I don't know. You're like making hand gestures.
Yeah,
I
was doing a limp penis hand gesture.
Oh, is
to,
that
like,
what it
facing
was?
Facing downwards and they're coming on the floor.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how we got into that.
Sperm count. The other story I heard today on NPR was on Radiolab. And they were talking about this group of baboons, I think it was, that all the alpha males got tuberculosis and died. Apparently, when monkeys get tuberculosis, they, like, rot. Like, their hands rot off. Their arms rot off. It's so disturbing. But what happened was these alpha males all died. And so the beta, I guess they're beta males, this colony of baboons started this whole new social experiment where the men weren't afraid to touch each other. They would actually groom each other, and they would return the favor when the lady baboons would groom them. They would then groom the ladies.
Okay.
So, long story short, I think the answer to all our problems is to get rid of the alpha males.
Well, I mean, that sounds pretty good to me, because I've always been a beta male.
It sounds like a really good plot for a horror movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, all I think you should write that one.
All of the nerds uprising and taking over.
I mean, all the alpha males just die from some horrible freak accident.
I think that's kind of slowly happening. I mean, when I was growing up, I loved my comic books and thought they would never get to theaters the way they are today, especially. But now it's like it's in to enjoy Marvel or DC.
Iron Man is an alpha male.
Star Wars.
He's kind of a
Star
dick.
Wars is back.
Star Wars is
Transformers.
Back. And they're doing a good job at
But I guess they are kind of doing, like, douchey versions of a lot of them.
Well, I mean,
like,
most superheroes are not douchey. Like, Captain America, yeah, he's an alpha male, but he's not, like, an alpha male in that, like, I'm gonna go kill things all the time, always, sort of way.
Well, I was thinking more of the lines of, like, Transformers. They douched that up.
Oh, well, yeah, they put Megan Fox in it, and she's just...
Well, she's fine. I don't mind her. I was just talking about everything else.
She is just a slate for all young boys' dreams. I guess she probably still looks good, so I'm not going to knock her.
Young boys have to have dreams. You want to take the dreams of young boys when our sperm count is as low as it is?
Well, they can always,
you want to tell young boys...
Fantasize about Gal Gadot. I mean, she looks like she has some intelligence
from Wonder Woman. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
She seems
as long smart as you're not trying gorgeous. To perpetuate this like lowering of the sperm count.
No.
Because it sounded like you wanted to castrate young boys.
No. I went into this hole where I was researching like, does masturbation make your sperm count lower? But no, that actually has no effect on your sperm count because I thought, you know, the rise of porn. Not that there wasn't porn before 40 years ago, but like, all you have to do is Google shit now and it's right there. So I was like, maybe people are just jerking off too much. But it has no effect on it. So
there's porn for just about everything.
I'm interested.
I like to
try
to find porn for horror movies, like horror movie versions of porn after I watch something or listen to a podcast that's covering something. So yeah, today, in the past I've found, like, of course there's Freddy Krueger porn, there's Phantasm porn, there's porn that's horror related that's outside of the realm of horror movies. But inspired by them in like weird ways, just like strange amalgamations of basically there was this one that I saw of, like it had the arachnophobia setup of dudes going into a house that's full of spiders. And then there's like this,
sexy
I think I've
spider.
Shown it to you. It's like this woman in a giant spider costume that comes out.
You might have shown me a little bit of that. I probably tried to block it from my memory. Like, I don't understand how people get off to that stuff.
Yeah, she was like some science experiment, and I don't know, she puts the dude in a web.
There was...
And then just, like, violently sucks him off. And, I mean...
I don't think
this woman has...
Thank God.
This woman has, like, a very convincing spider costume on that doesn't look fake. It looks like a special effects dude that knew what he was making put this on her. I mean, the only thing that looks humanoid about her, really, is the mouth. But yeah, I mean, like, the whole face has tons of these, like, moving eyes and this hair everywhere. It's bizarre.
Nally's looking at you like, Dad, you are embarrassing yourself. Please stop.
Yeah, so...
Well, I just found out, I forget what it's called already, ASMR or something. It sees basically all white women, attractive women, whispering into microphones and, like, tapping on shit and, like, rubbing makeup brushes on their microphone. Like, I don't understand, but apparently there's, like, a whole subset of people who think this is incredibly sexy and they get turned on by this. It's supposed to give you the head tingles or something like that. I listen to, like, they're all, like, half an hour long of these people whispering into the microphone. I wanted to, like, throw my laptop across the room, so I just, like, skipped ahead, and nothing gave me head tingles, so I'm either a freak or it's not a real thing. But that was on, I think, Bitch Media. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of horrific.
I mean, you could probably go on Fiverr and get people to do just about whatever freaky stuff you want.
Freaky stuff?
Yeah.
I want you to whisper into the microphone.
Oh, I was thinking more like, I want you to put a knife in your ass.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Popping balloons is a thing.
I had a
friend while I was in college. It was my roommate. And she made a little money on the side by popping balloons.
For money on the internet?
Yeah. Dudes would just pay her money to get naked and pop balloons.
Oh, she was naked while doing it.
Yeah.
So they paid her to get naked, not pop the balloons.
Well,
The balloon
popping does have something to do with it.
What, popping their engorged penis? Like, no.
Well, that's a fetish. That's a fetish, too.
Popping penises?
Yeah. You've never seen that?
No, I don't want to either.
Where it's just like, dude that sticks his dick through a piece of wood that a woman walks around in, like, stilettos and steps on his cock.
That's dangerous.
Well, yeah.
That's retarded.
Hey.
I'm sorry, that was an inappropriate use of the R word. It's, like, really stupid is what I meant to say.
Yeah, I mean, you could say whatever you want. You're free to say whatever.
That's embarrassing. I just shouldn't say those. I shouldn't say that. I'm not Ann Coulter.
So, how do you think a porn of The Exorcist would go?
Well, I'm sure it would involve the bright green slime vomit. Like, as lubricant. Her face probably wouldn't be quite as ugly. But I'm pretty sure she would still say, fuck me, fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'd probably be a little,
I think it would be kind of like, fuck me, Jesus, fuck me, Jesus.
Also, I mean, it would have to be.
And then Jesus would come in.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm sick. I can't poke fun at Jesus right now. I need him to help me get better.
Well, it does exist.
I don't want to see it.
And as you can see.
There's the vomit.
Yeah, but it's like reverse.
Or is it cum? That's his penis. I see it now.
Yeah, but it's like green. It's like green going on her face.
Oh, it's going in her eyes. In reality, that stings like a motherfucker.
You see, I mean, it's like green cum.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
As I suspected, it is a girl that looks like she is barely an adult.
You weren't too far off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very good. The pea soup is lubricant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can make one that's more just a woman puking on someone and some guy getting off.
There's puke fetish.
Oh, I'm sure there's a fetish for everything. We don't need to keep talking about porn.
Right, all right. So I was basically slowly leading us into...
very slowly.
Letting people get to know us a little bit. With the sperm counts and the sex talks... we have been discussing the possibility of babies in the future. And
oh, what?
Yeah.
You and me?
Yeah.
Oh. In the far distant future.
No, not too far.
I mean, it can't be too far. We'll just be too tired to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, there's a lot of scary stuff that goes along with reproducing.
Yeah, like, I'm... what, 5 times more likely to die here in America than if we had a baby in the UK.
And as you get older, that chance is just getting higher, as well as other chances.
And I have to come off my antidepressant so that my baby doesn't have 3 arms.
Oh, that can mutate them?
Yes, it can mutate them. I joked about that not being a terrible thing, and then I started growing that weird bump on my belly, that lipoma.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure being like, ha ha ha, a third arm would come in handy is not a thing you want to do because you will start to sprout a third arm.
Oh, wow. So is this like all antidepressants? I assume
it's just... No, not all of them. Just the only one that works for me.
Just the ones that mutate your brain will mutate your babies.
Well, I mean, all of them mutate your brain in some way.
Okay.
But mine actually does increase my serotonin output. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, I'd have to cross that bridge when I come to it because maybe my gynecologist would be like, eh, you cray, so you should probably just stay on it and we'll monitor the situation. But my family doctor seemed to think that sometimes your anxiety and depression gets better while you're pregnant, and I wanted to laugh. Because I don't see that happening for me.
I mean,
there's a thing growing inside me that I need to expel in 9 months. The only thing I'm going to be thinking about is the expulsion and the possibility of dying during it.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I mean, also, they take a lot out of you physically. Some people are affected more so than others in that regard.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a puke fest.
Yeah.
I'm already pretty
close. I'm talking about, like, physical changes afterwards.
Well, yeah, your boobs sag.
Right.
I mean, my boobs are going to blow up even bigger
than
they
are
now.
And you have massive boobs.
So they're just going to hang down at my belly button.
Yeah.
Like, are you ready for that? Because if we have a baby, that's what's going to happen. My boobs are going to be at my belly button. They're pretty close already.
Well, they make, like, fake things that you can just put over top. And, we can just... deal with that.
You will have ruined my body, so you will need to look at it.
I'm not even sure if I want to ruin the body. Like, we were talking about...
You're gonna get the dad bod?
Well, we were talking about how there are some things that run in my family I wouldn't want my child to suffer from. So... Genetical,
that's okay. I just drinking. Used a terrible, terrible word while I was being recorded, so.
Yeah, geneticals. so, yeah, some strange genetics that run in my father's side of the family. Men always seem to be born with club feet, and it's more severe for some than others. Also, there's mental illness that runs
in both sides of the family.
Yeah.
Oh, our kid's gonna be batshit crazy.
Yeah. So.
Or the most normal person will know.
Possibly. So, yeah. I mean, that's a fear of mine when it comes to children. I guess maybe with the club feet and the mutations from your medicine, it could come out to be like. The It's Alive baby from Larry Cohen's film.
What if it's just like, what is the Inhumans? What if it's an Inhuman? It's actually a superhero that, like, saves the world. Or do they not save the world? Are there bad and good Inhumans?
I mean, it might have trouble trying to save the world with 3 arms and the inability to walk. So... and being completely loopy.
I don't know. It might, like, float or have mind powers or something.
But not know how to use them.
It'll figure it out.
And just start killing people, like in the anime Akira.
We will hook that baby up with Wolverine. It will be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
I don't know. So there's a lot of fears there.
I'm just mostly afraid that I will die. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's a huge
If I get through the baby
fear.
Having and I'm... alive and it has club feet, then I think we would just deal with it.
That's a legit fear. So wanna do a shout out to Patrick from Squeen. I need to either drink more or quit drinking. Patrick.
Well, I mean, you have 3 drinks and 4 drinks in front of you.
Patrick from Scream Queens. I reached out to him with some discussions on things that we were discussing. So I had said to him that we were considering... You have some friends, Dustin and Patrick. It's a different Patrick.
Yeah, it's different Patrick.
Who...
I love them both.
Yeah. Who are considering children.
Yes.
More on the Dustin side than the Patrick
Dustin
side.
Dustin definitely sees himself with kids. Patrick is amazing with kids, but has so far been hesitant.
So, yeah. You had brought up, like, being a surrogate mother as a means to pay off student loans, but I think it would beneficial to, like, actually work with them if that were to be... I mean, that's an option.
Well, yes, I would not charge Dustin for my services should they choose to use a surrogate, but I've known Dustin since I was 5, so, I mean, that's a huge majority of my life.
And he doesn't have a history of club feet running in his family or mental illness.
No. Well, so. I mean, I don't know about the mental illness. Mm. I don't know his family side of the story that well.
Okay.
But no club feet that I'm aware of. Yeah. Very, I guess, wannabe alpha male.
Okay.
Father.
So. Well, that's fine. So, yeah.
But Dustin is not an alpha male, so I would have no qualms.
So yeah, I reached out to Patrick, just like...
Not Dustin's Patrick, but Scream
Right, Patrick Queen. From Scream Queens. Yeah. Because there's just a lot of things that come with decisions.
I see your note babies on there now.
of that high importance. And my mother is very religious, and her and most of my family are very close-minded. So... there would be a lot of strange acceptance issues and conversations that probably wouldn't go very well. But
well, I mean, I could always just go that up. Oh my God, you tried to kill my baby!
I mean, what it comes down to is just you do what you know is right, and you know, you just can't keep listening to everyone else.
No, I mean, my dad would be he is not quite as religious as your mother, but. There would be a good amount of weirded outness if I would become a surrogate for Dustin. Even though, I mean, my dad loves Dustin like his own child, but he knows how much Dustin means to me. But it would still weird him out. I think people are slowly coming around to it, but there's a generational gap.
And just in case nobody got it, Dustin and Patrick are both men.
Oh yes, they both have man names. They are both men.
Yeah. So.
And they're lovely.
And they both love horror. They're both horror movie fans.
I'm
so,
surrounded by them.
Yeah, so the kid would grow up to love horror, and that's good for me. Kid would grow up with, what, 3 dads?
You're talking about the possibility
Can you imagine
of
how many
like
presents?
A timeshare child.
Oh, a timeshare child.
Yeah, we, you know, switch off every other week. That might be okay. It would be like the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty nice. So yeah, we're working out our own relationship social issues on the podcast. Thank you for
thanks for listening in on our therapy session.
Yeah. That's basically what I got to cover for the frosting of the podcast.
I'll have to let Patrick know we're talking about Dustin's Patrick, that we're talking about a timeshare child in case that changes his mind and Dustin can get a baby after all.
Yeah.
Because it's not a full-time responsibility. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we're going to dig into the filling.
Okay.
So, the filling for the episodes that I record with Cake Bitch are going to be different than the structure I use with Dust Brain. However, we are still going to have a themed cocktail, and today we are digging into some stuff. This was a cocktail that was made by Dust Brain for me on my birthday. He knows how much I love the stuff, and we were trying to figure this drink out for the longest time. So, yeah, the ingredients are pretty wacky. they're intense. But if you want to make it, It's going to be delicious. It's going to have a slight banana taste to it with hints of coconut. It's going to be white and a little bit jello-y, and you top it with Cool Whip to give it that duality of the types that they used in the making of the stuff.
So is this still safe to drink? It's been like 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's still good.
Okay.
So in the movie, they had used many different things to give representation to the stuff monster. And some of it was made with fish bones. Some of it was simply made with Cool Whip. So this gives a little bit of both worlds. The consistency of the drink base is more like blended fish bones.
It actually is blended fish bones.
It's not.
It's totally blended fish
it's
bones.
It's actually not.
Jason
and then
lied
the
to you.
The Cool Whip, obviously, on the top.
It's just the banana so, liquor covers that flavor up, the fish bone flavor up.
So it kind of tastes like banana pudding in a way. Go to cakewolf.com. You can find the recipe on there. There's plenty other recipes. We're always making ourselves drinks to share with all of you, so we'd appreciate it if you do make it, that you let us know if you enjoyed it or you completely hated it. The structure for today, as I pour us some stuff,
well,
is
we can't
basically
share it 'cause I'm sick, so. But I did have some, and it is actually quite delicious. I don't even like fake banana, and it was still good. Ooh, that was like a chunk.
Yeah.
You sniffed it. You weren't so sure. It's been in our fridge for, maybe it's been 3 weeks now, 2.5
no,
weeks.
No, it hasn't been that
How
long.
How long has it been since your birthday?
I'll tell you after I drink
weeks.
Some.
Okay.
So, basically, what we're doing here is we have each picked a movie. I've picked a movie that I have not seen before. And it's listed as horror when you search it. She's picked a movie that's not listed as horror, but has horror tones to it.
Yes, it
does. And we pick these to kind of battle each other and see which one ends up being better, and we're going to let you know which one we think you should go see. So what's nice about doing it this way, in my opinion, is that if you are like most people and you don't have horror fans surrounding you at 24 hours a day.
Right. Like, my family wasn't into horror, so.
Right.
Dustin
so,
was my only source.
If you still want to get that kind of taste of horror, but introduce a film that's not listed as horror at all,
right?
You can still have some enjoyment in your movie watching with someone else. And that's part of the goal here.
Socializing.
Right.
We want to socialize you.
So the movie that I picked is called Project Vampire. It's from 1993. It's got a runtime of 1 hour and 28 minutes, and it's listed as action horror on IMDb. This movie is pretty bizarre. It's hard to find. You can find it on YouTube if you dig around. Otherwise, you're going to have to get yourself a VHS tape and a VHS player, unless you're able to play DVDs outside of American region.
Well, now, we did find it on YouTube, right? Did you say
we
that?
We did.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, the quality was bad, but
so, it has stars in it. There's people.
There's actual people that are
in
this movie.
There's people starring in it. I wouldn't call them stars, but, yeah. I mean, I almost.
That one guy looks like a douchebag version
of my
ex-boyfriend. Like, an extra douchey version.
So it's almost not even worth digging into these people, because they were never really in anything else. There's one dude who's now, like, doing these infomercials.
Is that Brian guy?
Yeah, Brian.
I mean, he's not a bad looker.
Brian Knudsen. He's basically doing these infomercial things. The only dude that was in this that really, like, went on to do more and is still doing more is the dude who was, like, typecast for, like, racially insensitive Asian man. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. It did have a very uncomfortably racist feel. When was the movie made, though?
93.
Oh, 93. Okay, well, then we were out of the 80s. I was expecting it to be an 80s movie, because they tend... Oops, sorry.
They still do it today.
Well, yes, but so. I think people are trying to be more conscious about it.
Well, I kind of feel like people are trying to be more conscious about it, because it's kind of making them money. So, like, the most...
Right, but is that a bad thing?
Well, what I'm saying is, there's the right way to do it, and then there's the...
capitalist way.
Right. So... a lot of people that you find, like, billing, like, top billing Asian actors for certain things.
Right, when we say typecast, though, I mean, this is still the stereotype today. He's a very intelligent Asian who just doesn't know how to speak English well.
So, where I was going was basically...
he's not stupid. He's not like, who was the guy in Breakfast at Tiffany's? Roger.
It was a white guy playing a man of Asian descent.
It was the first guy. What was his first name?
I can't remember.
Anyways, they just turned him into an Asian and they made him seem really awful and stupid. It wasn't like that.
So the point I was trying to get to was basically that it is a trending topic. So people, I find more often than not, are capitalizing on that and putting... A big emphasis on strong female lead, strong Asian descent lead, strong et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're done right, but most of the time I find it to just be capitalizing on the fact that they can. And there's still, like, these underlining tones that just don't make you feel as though they're a true character.
Yeah, I feel like that's valid, but at the same time, I feel like eventually the fact that, you know, black kids are seeing black people portrayed in roles that were actually powerful, even though it's for capitalist means, it's still doing a good thing. But I mean, yeah, the reasoning behind it's kind of shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just...
And they do still whitewash a lot of the stories. Regardless, to try and make white people look less awful than they really were. When they do historical things, I mean.
That's just the American way.
Whitewashing.
Well, all of this garbage. It's not something that you
capitalism
typically...
capitalism and whitewashing.
It's not typically something you find in a lot of other places, like British television, you know. I don't know. It's just weird. So...
well, British television, it's very white.
So...
but, I mean, they're England.
So my movie was Project Vampire. And just to kind of touch upon what it's about, it's basically a dude wants to turn everyone into vampires. And he wants to do so for the reason of controlling everyone, because he can control people when he turns them into vampires because of the way he's turning them into vampires. He's basically releasing this quote-unquote drug.
It's some sort of serum. I forget what they... Yeah. Is it a super serum? Did they call it super serum?
They called it a super serum. And it's marketed to, like, basically be... a miracle thing that'll, like, do all this stuff for you, right?
Well, yeah, the main thing is
it's sort of like the
sun, right?
Well, the whole point of it is basically that dude is distributing his own blood, marketing it to people to fit the bill of whatever it is that they want out of life. Like, it's essentially the way it's marketed is it's going to make you live longer. Right?
Well, yes. Vampirism is...
yeah. But it's not marketed to them like, this is going to make you a vampire. It's like, no, this will just make you live longer. Just keep taking it. They take it long enough, they are under his control, and so on and so forth.
They need the serum.
So he's basically trying to make an entire world of vampires to control. And it doesn't really add up. His motives are a bit strange in the execution of the story itself. They're not really covering much. They're just hinting at what's happening. Like, and that's it. You see dude getting blood taken from him. You see him distributing it. You see people taking it. But that's about all you got. The rest of the movie is just kind of this almost like Laurel and Hardy routine, but without the humor. It's just...
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, you got...
I mean, Matt really, really likes really bad movies. So if you like bad movies, you might like this one.
No, I don't think someone who likes bad movies should watch this either.
No. It was bad enough that you're like...
I think it's a waste of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
No, there was a...
I'm also sad that I had to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Myra Natwick, who played Dr. Frederick Klaus, who was basically the lead vampire trying to turn the world into vampires so that he can control them. He was actually a good actor. You can tell that he was classically trained.
Yeah, he was convincing. He was the only one that was convincing.
He was the only one worth paying any attention to on the screen. And they didn't give him very many scenes, so yeah.
Yeah, everyone else was really bad. It's like what you would expect from a child actor, but they're grown.
Yeah, there's this one scene where he's monologuing, and it's towards the end of the film, and he's basically telling this tale of how the land is doomed and blah, blah, blah. And you're kind of getting into it because it's a decently, like, it's maybe like a minute-long dialogue, so it lets you settle in and kind of enjoy the movie for a moment, and then it just transitions to the hero of the tale smacking him in the side, and then vampire dude flies across the room. Like, a lot of it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, didn't you sit there for, like, half an hour after the movie was over trying to figure out why?
Yeah, I was researching the film everywhere that I possibly could. There's like three people that are on the internet that actually made reviews for it, and they're all basically saying the same thing, that it's garbage.
It's Swiss cheese.
It makes very little sense. It's Swiss cheese. Lots of holes. Yeah, so I found this to basically be like a very shitty prequel to the movie Daybreakers, starring Sam Neill, where you've got a world run by vampires, and humans are almost gone. So you're not, like, they're running out of food, and the vampires are dying off.
That was the thing.
And when they don't eat people, then they become more feral and express the more monstrous side of a vampire. And yeah,
can vampires that movie, drink vampire blood? Like, what would you eat if you kill all the humans?
There's a lot of different lore that I'm gonna have to comment on to answer that question.
All right, well, another day then.
But the one that I believe is yes, you can, but you're basically, like, a lot of them say you don't drink from the dead, okay?
Okay.
That's the common rule in film. In books, it's kind of like, especially The Vampire the Masquerade, which is the one that I like to think of the most. You drink from another vampire, you're basically going to, slowly become their slave if you drink from them enough.
Oh,
which is kind of like what the Project Vampire did.
Okay.
Which I thought was a little bit cool because you don't usually see that in film. That's usually just in books. So that was neat to a degree.
But not enough to see.
But yeah, it's the same kind of thing, like these really shitty movies that I enjoy, and Jason Dustbrain the other day commented on this. These schlocky movies usually have some really great ideas in them, but the rest of it's just kind of like filled with action and nonsense and funny moments. This does have some interesting ideas, and that there aren't many, and the filler is not fun. The filler is doesn't have much action in it.
No, it's...
It's just kind of like long scenes of people driving, and they're supposed to be chase scenes, but it just seems like scenic, and dude is like he's really constipated. He's got a shit bad, and he's just racing to get to a toilet.
Well, then he would not be constipated.
It doesn't look like he's actually, like, in a chase.
In pursuit.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the movie started off with, was it three guys just taking a leisurely jog through the neighborhood, trying to get away from the super serum guy?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it, I mean...
I mean, that went on for, like, it felt like 10 minutes.
I don't want to talk about it anymore, honestly. It's just, I'm done with it.
Oh, you're done with the movie?
I'm done with it.
All right.
I didn't like it. No.
Two thumbs down.
So, Daybreakers, check that out. They basically took some of the ideas that Project Vampire had, and they made a good movie as a whole. So, you don't even have to visit Project Vampires, because the cool ideas that they're expressing in it, they're done in Daybreakers.
Or, less horror, but still horror-bent, Vamps. Vamps is a good cheesy horror movie, comedy, I guess you would say, actually, that involves vampires. But that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That was really, really ridiculous and amazing, and I don't think it followed any of the vampire lore, but it was still good.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Daybreak is probably a lot scarier, a lot more traditional.
Yeah, so... Vamps, that starred Clueless fame.
Alicia Silverstone,
and Kristen Ritter from recent Marvel fame. She was Jessica Jones.
Yeah. She was also the bitch in Apartment 23, I think.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not scary. It's more not. Of a, it's more of a comedy, honestly.
It's
there's
pretty fun.
Some nods to the horror genre that you can appreciate.
You mean like they're vampires?
And of course there's some tasty broads to check out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed that movie.
It was a goofy movie. It wasn't anything scary.
No.
That's why I enjoyed it so much.
It's eye candy.
And it's vampire related, so.
It's eye candy. It's got a strange charm to it with its pink and bubbly kind of style.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a romance in there.
If you enjoyed movies like Drop Dead Fred, I'd say My Boyfriend's Back, the original Buffy movie, films like that.
I don't think I've ever seen the original Buffy movie.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Movies like that, they're kind of like, they're lighthearted, they've got a horror charm to them, but they're not necessarily horror.
So is the series more serious than the movie was?
I'd say they're kind of on the
equally.
Same wavelength.
Okay.
It's just that the original film was a product of its 80s era.
Okay.
Or actually 90s, I think.
All
like
right.
Early 90s, yeah. So.
So is it my turn?
Yeah, so you picked a film too, and like we said, this one is not classified as horror.
No.
But it does have some horror aspects to it.
It's awful. Okay, so... I'm sure everyone's heard of Okja by now. It's a Netflix original film.
I doubt anyone's heard
of it. No one's heard of Okja?
I doubt anybody listening has heard of it.
Well, it's...
I doubt the two people or one person that is listening.
I feel like there was a lot of hype about this movie. our tens of listeners, like they would say on TVTL. Anyways, it's classified as an action adventure and action comedy. But I do not know where they got the comedy from, other than it's kind of absurd at points. But then it takes this very deep, dark turn. So Okja is about corporation, Mirando Corporation, that sells meat. And they have supposedly discovered a super pig in Chile. And they took that pig and they brought it to America, and
that's not like they found a super pig inside of a giant bowl of chili?
No, like the country, Chile.
Okay.
Chile. I'm sorry. I probably said it like an American girl. But they bring this they bring this pig back, or I guess more than one pig, and they breed this pig, and they make a pig for every country that Miranda is located in. So one of them ends up in an Asian country. Did they ever actually say where Okja ended up?
Not that I picked up on.
Okay, so it's a generic Asian country like we do in our American films. And they're told that they need to raise this pig according to their local values and traditions. So Okja gets raised by this adorable little girl named Mija. Mija?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you because you watch more Asian films than I do. They're like best friends. This Okja basically becomes Nolly in this scenario.
And Nolly is
our baby chihuahua.
Who we She's obsessively sleeping. Love. Yeah.
She likes to think of new ways to kill herself every time Matt goes away, and I freak out, and then she's fine. But anyway, so Okja immediately becomes a pet dog in my mind. Mija is under the impression that her grandfather, who she lives with because her parents have passed away, has paid the Miranda Corporation so that they can keep Okja for themselves. Because she's in love with this pig, she can't give it up. She doesn't want it to go away. But her grandfather is old and a farmer, and I think he just thinks she is being a little too emotional about it, getting too attached to the livestock. He didn't actually pay to keep the pig. So they come, they check on Okja, and they declare him the best super pig, or her. I'm not sure. I guess it's her. Okja.
It's a her.
Girl.
It's a her.
They declare her the best super
that's
pig.
That's made very aware to the watcher.
Yes. Very aware later in the movie. So they take Okja back to New York, where they're supposed to, like, parade her around and celebrate her. But this corporation is awful, and it turns out that these pigs are
Surprise! There's a corporation that wasn't trying to do everything that was nice for all the things and
so,
all
yeah,
the people.
So, yeah, after 10 years, they bring all the pigs back, and, they are going to parade Okja around because she's been deemed the most beautiful. But before they parade her, I don't know how in-depth I want to go into this, like, horrible thing, but they put her through some pretty gruesome testing and some forced mating.
Yeah, so you basically become very attached to this CGI pig, which sounds ridiculous. Going into this movie, I was, like, making all of these bacon jokes and how Okja's gonna be delicious, but despite my reservations, the movie still managed to get under my skin, tug at my heartstrings, and make me care about this giant CGI pig with a bouncing clitoris.
A clitoris?
Vulva, sorry.
Well, okay, listen.
Vulva. The remember the dude inspects the vulva and it's this, like, massive...
Oh,
I must have
looked away from the screen.
So weird. But regardless, make you care for this pig.
Right, it doesn't actually look like a pig either, which I think was probably intentional, because when we think about pigs, we think of them as these, like, super dirty, disgusting-looking critters. So they made it look more like a hippo.
I mean, unless you were a kid of the 90s and you watched Babe.
I didn't like Babe.
No?
No. Or Charlotte's Web had a pig in it too, right? I don't know. Talking animals freaked me out as a kid. This is why I didn't watch horror
I could movies. Probably watch Babe and eat bacon. I don't think I could watch Okja and eat bacon.
My sister fed me pizza with pepperoni on it when I was babysitting Hamilton, and all I could think
of... I mean, I'll still eat meat. This movie's not going to change your mind about eating meat. Maybe it will.
It could if you're on the fence and maybe, you are thinking about going vegetarian. This movie might be enough to push you over the edge. I mean, honestly, I feel kind of guilty now eating meat because I think about the lives these animals had before. But this movie basically exposes the, like, just how badly we treat the livestock before we slaughter them, like, in cold blood. And, I mean, this is how we feed ourselves. You go to the grocery store, you pick up some pork. Like, that pork was Okja at one point.
Yeah, it puts you in the mind of this CGI pig that I keep calling CGI pig. So yeah, it puts you in the mind of Okja and lets you kind of experience all of this atrocity that she's forced to endure right up until a very horrific moment. And
this was an emotionally trying movie. I mean, we were both like, I kept saying, we don't have to watch it all in one night. We don't have to finish it all tonight. And Matt's like, no, we're going to do it. And it was pretty awful. So one of the characters is Jake Gyllenhaal. What's his name? He is Johnny Wilcox in the movie. He's an animal lover. He's an animal show host or something like that. And you see him kind of slowly lose his mind. Anyways, that's how I took it. I don't think he was actually made to be a cold, heartless corporate drone. And I think the tests that they force him to perform on Okja break him. And that was kind of horrific, too. Little Fright Sight side note. Apparently Tilda Swinton, who plays Lucy Mirando, the CEO or president of the corporation, she got her inspiration by channeling Ivanka Trump, because Miranda Corporation was founded by her father, who was a terrible, terrible man, and she's taking it over and trying to put a kinder, nicer face on it. So I thought that was kind of interesting, little side note, Fright Sight thing. But yeah, this movie's just kind of horrifying because there's not a lot of blood. You don't really see a lot of gore or anything. But it's just emotionally trying, and Okja is such, like, a smart... She's a smart animal, and she actually saves Mija at the beginning of the movie, which makes you want to root for her even more. But it really goes into, like, the underbelly of even the activists have something in it for them. They're not thinking solely of the animals. Like, their hearts are in the right place, but they're still exploiting Okja for their own gain, in a way. Like, they want Okja to be okay, but they allow Okja to undergo all the horrific things that happen to her. Because Mija just wants to take Okja back to the mountains, and they pretend like she said, yeah, let's go to New York, when she actually said, I want to take her back to the mountains.
Yeah, so the horror in this is definitely the underbelly of mankind's obsession with monetary gain and control over all of the species, putting you in the mindset of one of the animals that are subject to this corruption of mankind, and letting you really feel for everything that the Okja pig is going through, as it kind of carries you through these steps that Okja takes until this climactic horror that happens at the tail end of the film.
Yeah, which, and I feel like that was definitely trying to set up, like,
which is very
a Holocaust feel. Did you get that same feeling? That it was almost like a literal Holocaust?
Well, it made me want to throw up, honestly. it was disgusting. So
it was really bad.
Yeah, there's some gore in there for you. You just gotta wait for it. It's not too much.
Yeah, it's a pretty sanitized.
I wouldn't suggest watching this with children.
No.
Unless you want your kids to be screaming in the middle of the night. But I think that this is something that you could definitely watch with your significant other.
Yes,
and
it's rated TV mature.
If they're not a fan of horror, you can still get a little bit of a fix for you. It's more of a like emotional roller coaster than it is like going to give you the scares. It's not really going to give you scares. It's more of like emotional tension.
Yes, you will just want to die yourself.
Yeah, it's like a psychological horror, if you're going to relate it to any aspects of horror psychological.
Yeah, like, you literally do not know what is going to happen to Okja.
Yeah.
Like, the entire movie, you have no idea whether Okja is going to come out alive
or
not.
So, I hate to,
it's terrible.
Yeah. So,
but it's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. It's a good movie.
Watch it once and then never watch it again.
Yeah. We're putting these films up against each other, and obviously Okja's the better one. You can watch that. That's worth a watch. Project Vampire is not worth a watch at all. There's no means of comparison between the two, really. The one movie, Okja, has acting in it.
Okja
has a story that includes a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yes.
Project Vampire has a story that has a middle.
And then more middle.
It's just a middle.
There's some end. A touch of end.
No. No, they don't really wrap too much up, honestly. They don't explain enough.
Of what's happening. Okay.
That's
fair. I'm actually grasping at straws to try to give your movie some credit here, but...
It's got a racist Asian dude that...
No, the Asian isn't racist, is he?
No, I mean, they've got an Asian dude that's portrayed incredibly racist. I'm not even going to do a portrayal, but he did have, and still has, a lasting career. He's not in anything that's worth writing home about, other than probably Beetleborgs from the 90s.
Beetleborgs!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We went down that Beetleborg rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's Beetleborgs. He was one of the villains. He was like a mutant Triceratops-looking dude. And Beetleborgs is basically like Power Rangers. But they're younger. They're these, like, 10-year-old boys and girls that can turn into Super Sentai Power Ranger types or little beetles. And they fight crime.
So they're either big beetles or little beetles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okja's the better one. If you're going to watch one of these two, I would suggest that one. Please just stay away from Project Vampire.
But do watch Okja. I mean, it's definitely... Like, I watched The Notebook years ago, and I'll never watch it again because it literally destroyed my heart. So Okja's one of those movies that I've seen and I will probably never watch again because... we were both pretty destroyed by the end.
So, let's get into the crumbs.
Oh, also, Okja does not portray Asians in a racist way. They are just people.
Yeah.
Raising true. Livestock.
I'm kind of upset because I wanted my movie to have something decent to discuss.
Well, it had that one guy who was classically trained.
That was barely in it.
Right, but there's that.
Okay.
There's that one thing.
Let's get into the crumbs.
Okay.
Bon appetit, bitch!
So, for the crumbs today, we're going to have a little discussion of horror, of what would you rather kind of thing. Just because I enjoyed the last one I did with Jason, I want to put you through a little torture. So,
Jason,
have you seen any of the Saw movies?
I saw, I think, the original one, and I thought it was stupid.
Okay. Well, there's eight of them.
There's eight? There's not more than eight?
The eighth one's coming out now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's called Jigsaw. Like, it's called Jigsaw.
I saw the previews.
So,
it's the same movie again.
Maybe.
People in impossible situations. What will they do? Who will be horrible? Let's find out.
All right. So Jigsaw has you in a bit of a pickle. He's got you in a machine, and you have saws, appropriately, I think, that are facing different parts of your body. In front of you, there's people that you know and care about. And you're given a choice, one by one. You can let these people live, or you can lose X body part. So the first one, you can either lose your toes, or you can lose our cat, which is a little shit, and you've probably been hearing the cat this entire podcast, because
she likes to sit outside the door and meow, because only Nolly is allowed in this room, because the cat likes to hide behind Elvira.
No, she likes to knock Elvira over.
Oh, okay. She's jealous of Elvira.
We have an Elvira standee in here, and she likes to just destroy everything.
I guess Princess Leia falls down then, too.
Yeah.
But my toes, well, I mean, my toes are kind of important because it's the only reason I stay upright.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would have to save the cat.
Really? I would let the cat die, like, without a thought.
But I wear earplugs at night, so, like, I don't hear her cry all night long. And she has these beautiful blue eyes, and she's just this innocent, anxious cat. We need to get her kitty Xanax.
Something. Maybe, throw you out the window, Xanax.
Well, I'm genuinely surprised that you have not kicked her across the room yet.
Okay.
I guess you're just an animal lover.
Maybe. I think if the story of Okja was replaced with our cat, I just would have turned the movie off and said it's not worth our time.
But instead it was Nolly.
So, okay, the cat gets to live, your toes are gone. Your second choice.
I have a feeling that my toes are the least worrying.
Well, I still got my toes. I let them kill the cat. I'm fine with that. So, second one going, you've got my entire family or your feet.
As much as you complain about your family, I think you would be very angry at me if I did not sacrifice my feet to save them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would probably just get used to the idea of wearing prosthetics.
Okay. All right. So you lose your feet. You lost your toes. You lost your feet. Next is your entire family or your legs.
My legs. Take them off.
All right. Your best friends or your hands. Which is Dustin. Patrick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bye, hands. Goodbye.
Jeez, you're
this is like the XX. Like, I cheated. I didn't realize this was a secret. And all I can think of now is that short.
Well,
the XX,
you're gonna now choose between myself or your arms.
Well, I mean, I would have to give my arms up. You would just have to hug me without me hugging you.
And the last one is your head or Nolly.
Now, this is where I have a question. At this point...
At this point, you're quadriplegic.
At this point...
You have
Nolly
not
has witnessed all of this.
Well, yeah, and you have not bled out because your wounds are being cauterized magically.
Yeah.
Magically.
Right. But I'm wondering...
Jigsaw's caring that way.
I'm wondering at this point, though... Like, would Nolly be so pissed off at this point that she would kill Jigsaw and it would all be over?
Nolly is a, maybe 2 foot long chihuahua.
I know, but you have not seen her genuinely pissed off at another dog.
She's a 2 foot long chihuahua.
She would go through.
She's mostly fat.
Listen, like, I don't know what to tell you, because if I didn't sacrifice my head, we would be done anyway and Nolly would be dead.
Well, at this point, you're quadriplegic. You're just a head and boobs.
So that means I can't have a life anymore?
I mean, you're a head and boobs.
I guess you still have to give up my head.
You still have reproductive organs, and as long as my sperm count isn't incredibly low, we could possibly...
Are you the one that turned me over to Jigsaw for the sick experiment?
No, I wouldn't be that.
Are you sure?
But have you ever seen the X-Files episode where... there's that, like, backwoods family that keep their mother on a rolling bed, and they keep her, like, underneath the sofa or something. And they just kind of roll her out to breed with. You could be that. That's, I could put you on a roller.
Well, then just take my head.
Okay. So Nolly gets to live then.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be a body.
You are breaks. So yeah, Cake Bitch is incredibly selfless. She would.
I feel like it's very unlikely that I would be in this situation, so I hope none of your sick listeners get any ideas, because I'll be really angry if I have to make the decision between myself and Nolly.
Well, actually, horror people are the best people. It's the people that don't watch horror that you have to worry about.
But I don't watch horror, and I'm...
Yeah, and I worried about you until you said that you watched some, and on our first date, you went to one with me. If you didn't go to that... If that was a test, if you didn't go to that horror movie with me...
That's terrible!
On our first date.
Nolly met me, and she loved me immediately.
Well, that was part of the test, too.
I should have just immediately...
My dog has to like you, and you have to go to a horror movie with me.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And you did both, so...
I did. I don't know how I got through that movie without having a panic attack. The void... You and Jason just talked about the void, right?
Right.
Like, I was literally pacing the apartment because I couldn't watch it. It was just... I don't even know why it bothered me so much, but I don't know if it was... It was probably just all the fucking gore. But I was, like, borderline having a panic attack. I mean, my anxiety has been up anyway. Probably because we're watching all these horror things.
Well, it calms me down.
It doesn't calm me down.
All right, well... I guess we'll just... We'll close this out... This is incredibly, probably incredibly long session. Yeah.
Wait, would you die for Nolly? Would you lose your head? Would you not lose your toes, but you would lose your head?
You didn't get to ask me those questions when we were at that segment, so I guess you'll never know.
No, we didn't move on to the next one yet.
We're all set. We're done.
You would... If you don't die for Nolly, you're a bastard.
Yeah, that goes for all of you out there, too. Well, thanks for joining us today for another Cake Wolf Happy Hour, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out! What you got?
Excuse me now!
Hey, what is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?